Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports to the max here on a Monday night. Steve Thompson in for Mike Max. Max, he was in earlier for Chad Hartman, and all day today we're remembering Sid Hartman here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a guy who's known Sid for a long, long time, a colleague at the Star Tribune. Before that, worked for the competition over in St. Paul. Longtime radio man in town, Patrick Royce. And Patrick, we say goodbye to Sid. And first off, I'd like to say job well done on the story you wrote about Sid.
Well, thank you. Actually, the long op-ed I wrote about 10 years ago, and we kept updating the thing. I think I updated it twice, and they did a fine job of editing today, the big long piece, and I was happy with the result. And it was hugely long, and it could have been longer. it was quite an amazing life for one of the, I say, the most interesting character I have ever encountered in my life. Not the most charming, that's for sure, but the most interesting, I would say.
Well, I brought up once upon a time you worked for the competition over in St. Paul, and in my observations of 23 years in the media here in town, didn't think highly of the guys from St. Paul.
Well, I got news for you. I worked in St. Paul for 20 years, and then I've been at the Star Tribune in various forms for 32. Our relationship has not changed. He was, you were the rival when you were in St. Paul, and you were the rival when you were at his newspaper, because he was a very controlling fellow, as you well know, and he wanted to control the men, even though he did not have any title in which to do that. Beyond a columnist, he definitely wanted to control the message that was being sent out on the local teams, which was a pretty positive message. So, we had our problems. We didn't, the guys who worked with him at the Star Tribune will tell you that he competed with their beat guys to get the story just as much as he competed with the St. Paul guys. He wanted it first, whether you were on his side or not.
You know, there's a lot of people that talk about the legendary competitiveness of a Michael Jordan or Jack Nicklaus or those kind of guys. Sid's in that category, hyper-competitive.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chad told me that last night when I talked to him briefly, yeah. That Sid, he got into the sports business because of Sid and was in it a long time and covered Garnett and all that, and he said his father is the most competitive person he has ever met. And he was in the sports arena, and I wouldn't argue with that. I mean, there's various forms of competitiveness. Now, he was not competitive, for instance, in household repairs or stuff like that. It was strictly in the newspaper business. That's the one real affinity Sid and I had. Well, two, a love of newspapering, although we went about it a different way. And absolutely no ability to fix anything that went wrong in our homes. I don't know how that was, but he, of course, the difference between Sid and I, as far as home ownership was, is if we set the security system at our house, I could get back in the house. Sid could not. So that's the difference.
Well, Patrick, I had a neighbor years ago, an old timer, when I was a kid growing up in Champlin, and his name was Bill Dolphin. And I was a teenager, and he was in his 80s, and an outdoorsman and that sort of thing. But anything around the house, he would always say, that's another man's business. And
Sid was that wilt. But you want to know about Sid's competitiveness. This is my favorite story from my wife about him. Her and her friend Mary next door used to take walks. We sit, you know, he lived over on Bassett Creek, and we lived a few blocks away up here in the low rent district. But he was down there on the creek, and they were walking around one day, and they started talking to a guy who lived across the creek from Sydney. And they, you know, and he said, yeah, you know who lives there, don't you? Sid Hartman. And Katie said, yeah, my husband works with him. He says, you know what? He said, a while back, I was putting white rocks in on my shoreline here at the creek of the shoreline. And Sid came down and said, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? And he said, we're putting in these rocks to decorate it. 3 days later, Sid had bigger white rocks on his shore. He had better white rocks. That guy thought he was going to have some good white rocks. You should see these white rocks we have here. So he would even compete in home decoration. So
the one thing about Sid, and he took a fair amount of heat from you and the late Dark Star and others. He loved the home teams and wasn't afraid to pull for the home teams.
Oh, well, no. In fact, the one chance I had to talk to him in the last several months, I told him that I thought the one thing he'd done really in the pandemic is even upgrade his homer game from where it had been in the past. I think he wanted to make us all feel better in the pandemic because everything he wrote. It's too bad that he wasn't around to write a column on yesterday's game, because he could have told us that Cousins actually played pretty well. He could have tried to give some relief to Cousins if he hadn't passed away during that game. So
yeah, it stood out to me. Speaking of the column, he had a column appear in the paper on Sunday, yes, the day he passed away. And if that doesn't make a statement in its own right, I don't know what does.
Yeah, well, I think they'd had him on a schedule where he had to kind of submit those a little earlier. So I think it was probably written on Thursday, but it was there and ready to go on Sunday morning. Pretty amazing. That's the one thing that those of you who are still around in years from now, that will be able to still look back and say, this guy, you know, who was when their kid asked him, who was Sid Hartman, they'll say, he had a column in the paper when he was 100 years old on the day he died. So that's what they could be able to say about him. That's certainly going to be something we all remember about him. And many things we're going to remember about him. Of course, I will have the privilege of, and you got this, of remembering the battles between him and Sid on the late, great sports show. That was always fun because As crotchety as those two guys were to each other on the air, I think that you must have had an opportunity or two to hear it off the air, did you not?
Oh, yeah, yeah, in the radio building in particular. And Lindsay Peterson, who still works at CCO Radio, and he's going to join us later on the program tonight, as we remember Sid Hartman, he talked about the real shame of all of it is that you weren't just rolling for the whole thing. And you just you put the stuff on the air that you couldn't put on the air, and then you just save for posterity all the other stuff that went on the set.
Yeah, he and Dark had a mutual loathing for each other that would thaw out about 10 days a year. About 10 days a year, Dark would take him over a present, and then Sid would be nice to him. And it went on about 10 days. But, you know, I told somebody else this earlier today. When the Sid and Dark thing kind of reached its zenith of disagreement was when Dark got himself on the front table when Knobloch got at the Knobloch sighting. That was it for Sid, to see Dark up there sharing the camera with Knobloch. that was the end for Sid. The dark self-promotion finally got to him then.
But you look at the work that Sid was willing to put in over his lifetime, but even here, the fact that he'd show up at the sports show, you would tape on Sunday nights,
yes,
and then it would air later that night, and the simple fact that he was probably at a game somewhere, depending on the time of year that day, and he would literally show up everywhere. I mean, you'd run into Sid at the Timberwolves or the Wild or whatever. Not very much at the Wild, but he wouldn't make too many journeys. But Gopher events, Gopher football, love Gopher football.
Oh, Gopher football was number one with him.
Yeah.
That went back to, you know, being, hell, that went back to him being a 9-year-old paper boy watching Bronco Nagurski, for goodness sakes. And I've always used that as my, how long was Sid around? He saw Bronco Nagurski, and he covered Rodney Smith breaking Bronco Nagurski's records, you know, in 2017, I believe it was, or maybe 18. So, you know, 70 years later, 80 years later, he saw it's just astounding what his career entailed. That's for sure.
Well, and you think about a guy who'd get up, do
90
the morning,
years later, excuse me, 90 yeah, years later.
Right. Well, yeah, get up, do the morning sports with Dave Lee, do stuff throughout the day, show up at the Gophers every day or out at Winter Park and then TCO Performance Center. And like I said, the TV show. And I know, Patrick, you get to a lot of things as well, but that always just stood out to me, even when I first came to town. This guy's everywhere.
Yeah, it was. He was making the rounds, is what he called it back in the day, when he would make sure he went to the U every day and stop or two or three places. And then, you know, he whatever game was going on, and he'd also stop at various arenas. He, you know, he would make 3-4 stops a day, and a lot of times just to show up. He wasn't really looking for something, but he just wanted to see if anything was going on. I've said this before today, but the amazing thing about him, even when his hearing was terrible the last 20 years, his eyes never left him. He was incredibly observant. I think he had the peripheral version of a vision of an athlete, because he could see everything. You know, if there's a conversation going on with three people over in a corner of the press box, he'd go over and see what it was about. He wanted to make sure he wasn't missing anything. Great observational powers. I saw that in the Star Tribune newsroom year after year. He knew everything that was going on in that newsroom when the rest of us didn't, because, you know, he was, by watching and by finding out and stuff like that, he always wanted to make sure that whatever was going on was not going to reflect poorly on him, which it never was going to because of that work ethic you're talking about.
And you've traveled around the country covering sports, and I've had a chance to travel a little bit. And inevitably, wherever I've been, I'm sure people would ask about Sid. I would be in southern Arizona visiting my kid in college and run into someone from Minnesota, and they'd say, oh, Sid Hartman, you know, we'd get into a chat about CCO or whatever, and they'd inevitably ask. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, first name celebrity in the probably not even in the state, the Upper Midwest. He was a first name celebrity, and you know, I've known him since I was a copy boy in 1963. The famous story I tell: he made me the most punctual worker in history. Because I was living out in Prior Lake, and it was a beautiful, you know, I don't know, I'd start in August, and about 2 months later, there was a nice pasture party going out in one of the farmlands out there on a Sunday afternoon. Beautiful day, and I felt the urge to call in sick. This was 1963, I didn't want to show up. And I'm out there and we're having a couple of beers, underage beers. And about 6 o'clock, about 4 in the afternoon, this guy, the farmer, comes driving up the path to where the beer party's going on and says, is Patrick Ricey here? And I said, yes. He says, you're supposed to call Sid Hartman at the office right now. How he found me in the beer party. in the pasture. I have no idea, but I never called in sick when I wasn't sick again in my entire life. So I still, he called, he must have gotten the house, and then they must have, you know, he must have got my old man, and then my father must have told him, well, call Clerkin's house or something. And they, I don't know how many calls he had to make to threaten me with firing, but that was my first year down there. And he taught me that he always said, you can find anybody on the telephone, and that was my proof right there.
Well, Patrick, good to visit with you, and thanks for joining us to talk about the great man, Sid.
All right, sir. Thanks, Steve. See you.
All right. Bye. There he is, Patrick Royce, longtime newspaper man here in town, first with the St. Paul paper, now the Minneapolis Star Tribune, a columnist, and up the dial on AM 1500.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.